I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about a fascinating addition to the cultural trail in Indianapolis, the Talking Wall. The Talking Wall invites an open-ended conversation about African-American history in Indianapolis and central Indiana. We'll talk both about that wall and the history that inspired it. My guests are Bernard Williams, the artist who designed the wall, Dave Lawrence of the Arts Council of Indianapolis, and Bill Shrewsbury, board member of the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is nolimitswfyi. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about the Talking Wall. It's a new sculpture installation along the cultural trail in Indianapolis. It is aimed at, and we're going to be talking about this, at illuminating parts of African-American history here in Indianapolis and central Indiana. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests joining us by phone are artist Bernard Williams, and in studio is Dave Lawrence, who's the president and CEO of the Arts Council of Indianapolis, and Bill Shrewsbury, who is a board member of the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee and president of the engineering firm Shrewsbury & Associates. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you all with us. So first, tell me a little bit. Bernard, I'm going to start with you. Tell me a little bit about what the Talking Wall is. If you could, paint a word picture for me, because this sadly is not a visual medium.
Oh, well, the sculpture does operate very much like a wall. It's a large kind of horizontal object about 12 feet high, and it's kind of filled in with pattern images and symbols and the names of a number of kind of prominent figures from Indianapolis history.
Who are some of the figures, the names included?
There's Madam C.J. Walker. A woman named Mary Cable. Mm-hmm. There's a reference to Major Taylor. Mm-hmm. And several other African Americans from Indianapolis.
Mr. Shrewsbury, Bill.
Yes.
Shrewsbury.
Yes.
Real quickly, talk with me a little bit about the importance of first the Talking Wall, but also the cultural trail in Indianapolis. Why this is such a significant thing?
Thank you, John. Sorry. And Central Indiana Community Council, Central Indiana Community Foundation, has placed art throughout the trail and had an idea to put African-American art on the trail. About 5 years ago, what they had proposed, it was a figure from the monument, and there was a group of citizens that spoke out against. They called themselves Citizens Against the slave image, Cassie. Ooh. And so Brian Payne came back to the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee and asked if we would undertake this project because he thought the cultural trail, the culture, that there should be African-American art on the trail. So the Progress Committee undertook the project, and we then, Yvonne Shaheen was on that committee, who is a member of the Arts Council, and said, you know, to make sure we get the right art, then Dave and myself, became involved as co-chairs.
Dave, how did you? What was your role in all of this?
Bill and I are both board members of GPSI and decided that we needed to co-chair this effort. And it really began with several years of conversation in the community. We wanted to make sure that we were capturing what was important to the community, what was important to highlight, areas of the cultural trail that we might look at for placement, and the types of things that we needed to be reviewing in order to find the right artist to take on the project.
How did you settle on the locations on the IUPUI campus, right? How did
Yes.
you settle on that as a spot that was appropriate?
Our stipulation really was that it needed to be along the cultural trail, as the funding from the Central Indiana Community Foundation was for artwork along the trail. So that was a long and involved process. There were a lot of great locations. The trail is so active, and finding just the right location that had the right amount of visibility, had a sort of pad that was large enough for such a large work of art, was also important. And, you know, serendipitously, the location that we selected and its proximity to Indiana Avenue and its location near where the Mary Cable School was just seemed like the perfect place. And IUPUI was a terrific partner in making this a reality.
Now, the original conception, obviously there was an intent from the beginning to commemorate African-American contributions to the city and the city's history. The original conception was one that obviously met some opposition. How did you arrive at this current conception, the idea of the talking wall? Whose idea was that?
Well, this process was completely separate from the first process. And I think our first step really was to step back and hear from the community and then develop a process for which we would look for an artist. The stipulations that we put forward in the call for artists was that this was going to be representative of the African-American experience or the history of the African-American community in Indianapolis, things to celebrate, uplift, and it would be the artist's conception. So this was conceived by Bernard as his contribution to the effort.
Bernard, how did you arrive at the conception for the talking wall?
Well, it was a response to, again, the call. And the call had a number of very particular historical characters that the artwork needed to address and somehow incorporate into the design. So, you know, my job, my interest was to really kind of figure out a way to, you know, very creatively speak about these important people, you know, African Americans who have contributed in these very profound ways to American culture, American history. You know, the challenge was to do it without being, or to do it and in a very creative and kind of provocative format.
And how did you, you know, that sounds like a rather daunting challenge. What you're talking about at some level is you wanted something that was going to inspire and that would provoke a response. You know, how did you settle upon the idea of this particular approach? What was the inspiration?
Yeah, I mean, there's a process of, you know, drawing and creating images. For me, the process involves often kind of cutting things out of paper, symbols, words. You know, the sculpture acknowledges a number of these people literally through their names. So their names are actually cut out of, you know, out of steel. So, you know, the material becomes a kind of interesting aspect of how we kind of celebrate and in some ways memorialize the history.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the Talking Wall. It's a new sculpture and installation along the Cultural Trail in Indianapolis. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, let me ask this. You know, in some ways, it sounds like you had two challenges here. One of them was artistic, but well, actually three. Another one was cultural. I'm asking, I guess I'll throw this to all three of you. Another of them was cultural, and the third one in some ways was political, because race still remains, you know, I think it was, I can't remember whether it was Lincoln or someone else who said that it is America's original sin, that any time you deal with questions of race, there is a tremendous amount of emotional investment on all sides of the question. I'm going to start with Bill on this one. How difficult was it to kind of walk through that, not just one minefield, but three different minefields here?
Yeah. Well, we realized of those three, at least the art and the cultural side, actually, in January of 2013, we began a series of community forums where we were meeting nights. I can remember on a weekend, a Saturday morning, that we had these open forums for everyone to come and give us their ideas as to what they thought the art would be. So that was one of the ways we tried to hear. Now, you know, there were different perspectives about what the art piece should be, and there were those that wanted it to be, you know, stone and then glass or wood and metal, but it helped us as we made the call to say, here's what the community is saying. So I think that was at least the way that I saw, and I guess Dave, that we overcame the cultural side, the whole art side. I am not an art expert, so I called Dave and we became co-chairs because of his expertise in art.
What about the political piece of it, Dave?
You know, I think that that was one of the things that we are most proud of in terms of our committee work, was that we brought together a committee of folks from some folks from the Citizens Against Slave Image group, a lot of gallerists and museum folks, community representatives, to come together and think about, all right, let's look at this from all sides and work through this process together. And we have talked about it at the committee level about the level of distrust, I think, amongst the group when we first sat down. And where we ended up was...
If I might interrupt, how did you get past, you know, that distrust? This is not the only such point we have in our culture these days in a society of distrust.
Right.
Yeah. How did you get past that? Maybe there are some models on other issues that we could employ here.
Honest conversation. It sounds really trite, but that's exactly what it was. It was honest conversation. There were disagreements. There were points where I had to say, as a Caucasian, I don't understand this part, and I'm going to step out of the conversation here.
And so, Dave and I worked well together because, everyone is free to speak, and we had open conversation, but what is going to be better that we can get this project, our whole purpose? And there's been a suggestion now that maybe we do some sort of documentary or history about the process of public art, especially that involves culture and race and objections.
What were the major friction points, Bill and Dave, since it sounds like Bernard came in sort of after this bit of jousting went on? What were the friction points, the things that people were most concerned or most distrustful about?
I think that there were perceptions, and some of them were probably real, that voices weren't being heard, that people didn't feel like they had a place at the table. And I can't say that we solved that for absolutely everybody and for every process. But I think that that was one of the things at first that we really had to, as a committee and as a group, get past, was the fact that we all have an equal voice at this table, and everybody's opinions are welcome and needed to make this project a success.
We're going to talk more about the process that led to this sculpture when we get back from our break. We're talking about the Talking Wall, a new sculpture installation along the Cultural Trail in Indianapolis. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are the artist Bernard Williams, Dave Lawrence, who's the president and CEO of the Arts Council of Indianapolis, and Bill Shrewsberry, who is with the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the Talking Wall, a new sculpture along the Cultural Trail in Indianapolis. My guests are the artist who created the Talking Wall, Bernard Williams, Dave Lawrence, who's the president and CEO of the Arts Council of Indianapolis, and Bill Shrewsberry, who is a board member of the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee and president of the engineering firm Shrewsberry and Associates. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. So just before we went to the break, we were talking about how people felt like they weren't being heard and that honest conversation. So that's one issue, but, you know, at some level, when you get everybody at the table and say, okay, now everyone is going to be heard, what did they want to say? I mean, that seemed to be part of the issue, too, is that they didn't like the original conception. And you dealt with it by saying, okay, we're going to tear it down and we're going to come up with something different. And I should say to our audience that if you want to see what the final result was, you can go to our Facebook page, and we've got images of it all over the place at No Limits WFYI. What were their concerns then, you know, once they were assured that they were being heard? Bill, I'll start with you.
That it be something that's representative of the African-American community in a positive way as much as possible versus sort of reminding us of our past. We know there's some ugly and bad things that happened in the past, so you know, to mention it be slavery, but why can't it be in a positive sense? Bernard mentioned, you know, Madam Walker is depicted, Wes Montgomery, Major Taylor, but all positive images for the things that they had accomplished, and that's what we would want to celebrate in our city, is the positive things versus in Annapolis, past that we want to forget about, the things that happened in the early 1900s and late 1800s.
Was there a pushback, though? I mean, there are some people who do argue you have to remember those things. You have to have reminders of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll let you take the first crack at that, but I want to hear Dave's and Bernard's thoughts, too.
Sure. Oh, you let me take first?
Yeah, you go first.
Well, I think from what we've developed or what Bernard has now, there's discussion about having some thematic teaching, having the talking wall, breaking it down, the symbols, and getting that into classrooms. And where it's located on IUPUI campus, there's a big garage. And so you bring school-aged children to IUPUI, but you also can teach them about Indianapolis history from an African-American perspective, and that has a lot of thought, and we're going to try to pursue that next.
Dave.
I think one of the things that drew us to Bernard's work, and let me say just a bit about process. So
yeah.
When we did the call, we received 30-some submissions from all over the country, And through a public art selection process in our committee, we narrowed that down to six finalists. And Bernard's really stood out from the beginning because of his thoughtful use of imagery and symbolism. And I do believe that it does address some of the things. There is a depiction of the North Star that's a part of it. And Bernard can speak more eloquently about all of the symbolism that is included. But I think that we needed to give a nod to that at the same time of remembering those visionaries that helped really create the Indianapolis that we have today. So his, to me, seemed like the best mix of remembering and memorializing the past, as well as recognizing even those difficult and dark times as a point of now pride for us and seemingly as far as we've come in this country.
Bernard, I think they've queued you up here to talk a little bit about, you know, what... And I know artists hate to be asked this question, but I'm going to have to ask it. What was the story that you were trying to tell with this, the message at some level?
It's an elaborate story. I think in general, and throughout a lot of my personal work and, you know, my studio work, I've been engaged in a discovery of what America is, who we are as Americans, and what those stories are. And, you know, when you look into that, you find a very complex story. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a story of immigrants. It's a story of slavery. It's a story of struggle on all kinds of levels. So for me, the idea with a work like this is to somehow evoke the complexity of the American story. So I'm interested in putting a range of symbols and images that do reflect very specific stories, very specific people, into a composition. So that's the big task with a project like that. So I start with, maybe a range of individuals. There's Madam C.J. Walker. Her story is very much around her business. You know, she was a businesswoman. So you break apart her story and you look for images that really capture her story in some way. Wes Montgomery was a guitarist. So, you know, the guitar, there's a large, you know, like a 12-foot guitar in the center of the piece. So my job was to just kind of arrange a nice group of symbols that start to talk to each other, talk to the viewers, and evoke a conversation about American history.
How did you arrive at who the symbols were going to be?
Well, that was some of the work that committee did.
Okay, so it was commissioned at some level.
At least in terms of who the particular individuals might be.
Okay.
Once I get the names of those people, then I can look into their story and who they were and try to develop symbols that represent that.
Okay. And Dave and Bill, how did the committee arrive at the names of the folks who were going to be the symbols who we wanted to see included in this?
There were a couple members of our committee that were historians. Mm-hmm. Wilma Moore from the Historical Society was very helpful to us. The director of the Crispus Attucks Museum was involved in this as well. Mm-hmm. And those folks really helped lift up the names and the people that we needed to make sure were a part of this. We have a funny story. There was one gentleman who came to every single one of our community meetings, and he was most insistent that Major Taylor have a presence in the artwork. And so Major Taylor was at the top of our list, and it sort of became sort of a little running joke amongst our committee that, gosh, we need to make sure that Major Taylor is there. And so I'm happy to say that he is represented in the Talking Wall.
Why was he so focused on Major Taylor as opposed to Madam C.J. Walker or, you know, any number of other? Did he ever say, or was it was just an...
He can give you, and he I guess had done a lot of research and background on Major Taylor, and he just thought it was fantastic for what he did during his era and his record of accomplishment that we should honor him with this art piece, Just Major Taylor.
So was that part of, I mean, obviously Madam C.J. Walker is a slam dunk,
right.
And all of that. How did you arrive at the other names or figures who should be included?
I think that there was probably a larger list that was generated, and there was a lot of discussion and names that were brought up during the community hearings or discussions that we held. And those names all were sort of put forth as well. In the call, we listed a few of them, like Wes Montgomery and like mm-hmm. Madam C.J. Walker and so we sort of left that up to the artist, but one of the things that we did was make sure that the artist was in touch with our historians, and we provided that information directly to them.
But if you look at the variety, mm-hmm. I listed Major Taylor, who, you know, cyclist, mm-hmm. but then there's part of it, there's the Indianapolis Clowns, the baseball,
yeah.
and so sports, and then Madam Walker, business, Wes Montgomery, music and entertainment. The North Star, and if at the spot that the art piece is located, Bethel Church is just over there at on West Street, and it was part of the Underground Railroad. So there you get the spot. And location for everyone is the northeast corner of Michigan and Blackford. And if you continue sort of north on Blackford, you run right into the Urban League building there at 777 Indiana Avenue. So it all begins to tie back. Mary Cable, mm-hmm. the school that was there, Mary Cable was very active in the NAACP and the leader in the community. So it's just a variety of African-American images.
Did you have to have criteria about, the strength of the tie to Indianapolis specifically? I mean, the mention of the Clowns and all of that. I think Hank Aaron played for them briefly.
I think, yeah.
Which
Central
meant,
Page.
Yeah, which yeah. meant, that significant sports figures who did have some small slice of time here in mm-hmm. in Indianapolis but aren't normally associated with Indianapolis or Indiana. How did you arrive at the criteria for who should be? Is it someone who had to be a native Hoosier or had to have spent a significant portion of his or her life in the city, Dave?
No, you know, I think that, again, we sort of left that up to the artist to interpret. There were a couple of the finalist proposals that didn't include anybody. It was more of a symbolic mm-hmm. Piece or an abstract piece that didn't include names or references or anything. So when we looked at Bernard's, it just seemed to be the best possible combination of making some specific references to our collective past, at the same time of providing some really interesting imagery. And one of the things that you'll really get to see when the weather gets better and the sun stays out, although it is a sunny day today, the amount of shadow and play mm-hmm. between positive and negative space on the ground and that's present in the artwork, I think just lends itself a whole new layer of complexity to the work. And so it really was this combination of the artistry of what he was trying to do with the patterns and shapes, and also then the inclusion and commemoration of key figures in our history.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the Talking Wall, a new sculpture along the cultural trail in Indianapolis that illuminates African-American culture and history in Indianapolis and central Indiana. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Bernard, what was it like working with the historians? Because in some ways, historians are trained to look for the literal and the specific at some level, and you were working more in the symbolic and metaphoric realms. Was it easy or difficult to bridge that gap?
Yeah, it's always difficult. Again, because the history is always so complex and rich. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to leave out other characters from the history, other important contributions. In the city there. But I think for me, the piece again starts a conversation about the history. So I think it allowed me to maybe not feel the pressure to include everyone. But we could mention some very prominent individuals and their contributions, I think, also speak about the contributions of so many other African Americans in the history.
Whose story was the most difficult to tell, Bernard?
Oh, difficult to tell. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe anybody's story is difficult to tell, again, because there's so much involved in any one story. I think I was excited about delivering something interesting about Madam C.J. Walker, for example. Mm-hmm. Her story was much around her hair care business. So it was definitely a challenge to think about, how to deliver an image that would speak about this really kind of complex aspect of American culture, and in particular, Black culture. What I used to symbolize Madam C.J. Walker was a large hair comb, a pick, it's called. It's a hair pick. And the hair pick is a really common object you'd find in an African American home. Mm-hmm. So right away, I felt like that image would kind of penetrate and communicate about so many aspects of who we are as African Americans. So that particular symbol kind of explodes beyond just Madam C.J. Walker's story, and really becomes the story of most every, African American who, has had to deal with their hair.
Bernard, I'll interrupt. When I first saw that, there's a clenched fist on the top of the hairpick.
Right.
And so I raised, are we becoming too radical? But I remember back during the days of the 60s, 70s, many of us, when we had hair, had hair picks, and at the top of those was the fist. And it becoming a skirt, and Madam Walker, her name is there, Madam, it was very creative.
We've gotten a Facebook. Yeah, go ahead, Bill. Go ahead, Bernard.
No, I was going to say that the hair pick, it has this other aspect of it also, where, like Bill said, the radiating combing part of the pick kind of spreads out in a very kind of feminine way. So it had this kind of dress-like quality. It looks like a woman's dress.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it was just another aspect of that one particular element in the sculpture that seemed to provoke and evoke just a big range of ideas and interpretations.
Bernard, we're going to have to take a break right now. We'll pick this up on the other side. We're talking about the talking wall. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the Talking Wall, a new sculpture along the cultural trail in Indianapolis that illuminates aspects of African-American culture and history here in Indianapolis and in central Indiana. My guests are the artist who created the sculpture, Bernard Williams, Dave Lawrence, who's the president and CEO of the Arts Council of Indianapolis, and Bill Shrewsbury, who is a board member of the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee and president of the engineering firm of Shrewsbury and Associates. And just before we went to the break, we were talking about sort of how the symbols were arrived at. We've got, I think, a call that is on point from regular listener Art. Art, welcome to the program.
Yes, we'd be.
Thanks.
My question was, how much research and how much coverage was given to this apparent, somewhat rich vein of opposition to the Klan by members of the establishment, shall we say? Because I understand that there were a number of prominent industrialists, businessmen, people in the arts, all of whom quietly and then perhaps occasionally not so quietly spoke out against the Klan in particular.
Thank you very much for the call and the question. Art, who would like that one? And don't all volunteer at once. Okay, thanks.
Well,
that's a good Dave. Go ahead, Bernard. Go ahead, and then I'll throw it to Dave.
That wasn't part of the history that I investigated around the work. Again, I think that speaks to, you know, the complexity of the history. I mean, there's so many stories that one could get involved in. I think, you know, with this piece, the interest was more in the positive stories. And not that you can't talk about, you know, negative aspects of history around, you know, African Americans and the city of Indianapolis, but, you know, the positive stories can be a lead in to, you know, bad things that have happened. But I think the image that we wanted to put on the street needed to be one that was uplifting.
So it was more about overcoming than the trial itself.
Right. Yes,
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Dave.
I think that great question from the caller. I think that illuminates one of the challenges that our committee faced, and that was, how do we represent the entirety of the African-American community or experience in one sculpture? And the answer is, it wasn't possible to do so. So, again, I think that this was an attempt to illuminate and uplift positive aspects of the community, maybe start a dialogue about other aspects, and certainly a way to thank and commemorate those who have made a difference in Indianapolis history.
We are talking about the Talking Wall. It's a new sculpture along the cultural trail in Indianapolis that is designed to illuminate parts of the African-American experience here in Indianapolis and central Indiana. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Michael has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Michael, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Bernard, I'm glad you mentioned that it's hard to sum it up with just one sculpture. And that's the reason why I asked this question, because I hope we have reached our quota of what we're going to have for African Americans on the cultural trail, and especially when a great artist like Etheridge Knight actually lived, a poet, lived on the cultural trail, because he lived at 555 Massachusetts Avenue.
Yeah,
and that's really more directed towards Mr. Lawrence, because I want to make sure that we haven't reached our quota.
I think that
okay, thanks very much for the call and the question, Michael.
Terrific question, Michael. And that, you know, I don't want us ever to check a box and say, okay, now we have a sculpture by an African-American on the cultural trail. We're done and away we go. I want to see not only on the trail, but throughout Indianapolis and in fact, across the country, that we don't have to categorize art by now we have an African-American sculpture. We have art. And this one happens to have been done by an African-American artist. So, you know, this certainly isn't the only piece. And we want to continue to work. Our committee wants to continue working and see what else we can do. So that's absolutely, I think, right on the money. We need to keep going.
How, you know, in terms of the figures, was there an attempt? I mean, Etheridge Knight, obviously, is a relatively contemporary figure, at least I remember writing about him when I was a newspaper reporter and all of that. Mari Evans is a significant poet and is still with us, still active and all of that. Was there, you know, trying to think, was it like there was a postage stamp rule here that you had to be dead for so many years before you got considered or those figures? Or is it something that stretches into contemporary time? Bill? You were chuckling, so I'm going to throw it your way first.
And I must admit, we did not venture into contemporary time because then where do you stop? And so we did more of the historic figures that we know. And so Dave's point again, we're probably not finished, but trying to raise the funds and finding a source and then doing this again, it's within the realm of possibility.
What other area, what other themes do you think would be explored if you were to sort of do other points on the cultural trail? Dave, I'll start with you, but I'd like to hear Bill's thoughts on that as well.
Well, you know, this makes me think about when we were dedicating this piece, it was shortly after the passing of longtime radio host Amos Brown. Mm-hmm. And we had talked to Amos many times about this, and he was very interested in this work and seeing this happen. And we tried to find some way to commemorate him that day. And so we did, for the commemoration of the piece, hang a pair of headphones on the sculpture for that day so that Amos was with us in spirit that day. And so it did raise that question about, gosh, where do we stop? Where do we start? How do we make sure that we continue? So I think that if there was a talking wall too, you know, if we're going down that path, I think, you know, we need to look at educators. We need to look at more business people. We need to look at other entertainers and political people and others who have
Bill Crawford
types, Julia Carson and
Joe
others
Summers,
who've moved us forward. So it's an interesting conversation. And I think that's exactly sort of the thing that Bernard was trying to get at with this piece. It's a talking wall. It's designed to engage the viewer in conversation about, you know, historical figures and what it means to contribute to a city in a significant way.
Bernard, what parts of the story would still intrigue you about, you know, if you were to be pulled back into this process? What do you think the most important parts of the story are that remain to be told?
Yeah, good question. Well, you know, the caller mentioned, an interest in this particular poet. I didn't quite catch the name there.
Etheridge Knight. Yeah, Etheridge
right.
Knight. Yeah.
I mean, projects like this start there. You know, when a group of people are interested in something, they should make the call for the art. The project can start, you know, with their conversation, you know, in somebody's backyard. and it moves forward with, you know, looking for supporters, looking for an artist, looking, you know, thinking about the art form that you want to maybe celebrate or deliver some message through. And it can take all kinds of forms. You know, I was really impressed with the number of outdoor murals that are going up around Indianapolis. I think the city deserves a lot of credit for maintaining a very vital public art program. You know, I had a great time working with Julia Moore in the city there with my project, and I know she was ushering through a number of public projects around Indianapolis. And I think it really speaks to the interest there in public art. So I think communities that want a statement out there should feel really encouraged and bring together their voices to get that statement made. I think we're in one of the most artistic moments in history, certainly with public art and with art that really has a community voice behind it. This is just a great moment for communities to come together and again, make the call for the kind of art that they want to reflect who they are. And I think that's so important for all kinds of communities to have creative reflections of themselves out in the world for everyone to see. There seems to be a real need for that in communities all over the country. It's exciting for me to be a part of conversations like that when a community wants to kind of put its message out there or somehow say something about who they are, something beautiful. You know, that's one of the greatest pleasures for me as an artist to kind of be a part of making that happen. And again, I just give a lot of credit to Dave and to Bill and to the committee that worked on the sculpture for sticking with it. You know, they got off, you know, that sculpture started with, you know, a lot of friction with some of the first ideas around it. And that's part of what happens with public art. You know, it doesn't always click, and you know, maybe you got to find another form or another artist to do it. So it's, you know, it can be difficult, but it can also be extremely rewarding. And I sensed that in the piece that we just placed, that there was a lot of satisfaction in the community and within the neighborhood, the committees that worked on this piece, and that's what I think helps us move forward, and that's what we want a public art piece to do, or at least one of the things. I mean, I think public art pieces, you know, also have to deal with those difficult stories also.
Well, let me ask this. You know, this obviously is a culmination of a long and somewhat challenging process for all of you. What were the big lessons learned from going through this? We're getting a little bit tight on time, so Bernard, I'm going to start with you and ask that you try to keep it to about 30 to 45 seconds.
Sure. The big lesson. Wow. I think for me, I mean, that's a hard question. I'm not sure exactly, but there's always a certain amount of letting go when you're working with other people's ideas, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
An artist has to be flexible and able to kind of generate some jazz within a number of ideas that are floating around. So that's the big challenge for me.
Okay. Dave,
that answers.
Yeah, it does. It does speak to the question. Thank you. Dave.
I think the big takeaway for me with this is trusting process and understanding that you know, perceptions or things that we thought were the case weren't, and really allowing ourselves to let our guard down and allow process and different points of view to come forward, and that sort of building community really strengthened the process and the project ultimately. So that was key to me.
So there was a certain symbolism even in the process that
absolutely
that created that it became part of sort of the act of the talking wall itself. Right. Bill,
well, I think anytime the lesson I learned, anytime we're talking about public art, public projects, public anything, that we need public input. And I mean, although you can fund it privately, mm-hmm. still, if it's mm-hmm. labeled as public, especially public art, the public needs to have some input. I think if you hear enough and sort of reason with the public, you know, everyone's not going to agree. It may not be unanimous, but at least maybe you have some consensus that this is will carry out what we're trying to achieve.
Bill, were there parts of that process that were painful for you to go through? I'm getting some sense of that when you talk.
Painful.
Disquieting might be a better word. Yeah,
but hearing everyone, letting everyone speak and have open input in our community forums, in some of our committee meetings. And Dave and I agreed that we would bring some of those that were most vocal to the committee process. But in talking with them either during the meeting or after the meeting, just saying hopefully we're on the same page and we're going forward. So not disquieting. Now, there was some persons that continued to try to get their point in that were not – that it was more personal than it was consensus or getting it done. That disappoints me sometimes anymore.
When you say personal, was it personal for them, or did they make personal objections to you and Dave?
Some that always want to be right, and they have the best idea in the world and all of that, and they do have good ideas, but it's not the only idea of what this art piece should be and where it should be and all of that.
No Limits is a production.
Well, we have just a little bit of time left, so Bill, I'm going to ask you to tell people again where they can see the sculpture, where it is, location.
Yes. On the IUPUI campus, Michigan, which goes west, and Blackford Street, which goes north. So it's on the northeast corner of Michigan and Blackford. Please go over. There's a couple of parking garages right there close by, so you can park reasonably and see the art piece. You can't miss it.
Dave, best time of day to say it.
I think high noon, when there's a lot of good shadow happening, or maybe just early afternoon, where you can really see the shadows and the interplay between the light and the positive and negative space, I think is fantastic.
Well, that will be the last word. I'd like to thank my guests, artist Bernard Williams, Dave Lawrence of the Arts Council of Indianapolis, and Bill Shrewsbury of the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee for what has been an illuminating conversation. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.